Very much, Peter. Well, welcome, and thank you for being here, and I am going to speak very much as a practitioner. I'd have to preface by saying I'm a practitioner at NAB relatively recently. I joined NAB about just over 4.5 months ago, and so the banking sector is a very new one for me and obviously a very turbulent one right at the moment. I come, though, from a turbulent sector as well in retail. I spent 3 years at previously Coles Myer, which became Coles Group during my term there. And so I am used to a fairly rocky road of takeovers and mergers and all sorts of things in terms of fairly unsettling business climate. And I think it might be worthwhile to even address what that means for us as diversity practitioners, because it's a question Vicky and I were just commenting on just then in terms of... Does the current economic climate, in fact, what sort of bearing does it have in terms of our broad diversity initiatives, particularly our the comments around our ageing workforce? Has the game suddenly changed? And we're seeing that in terms of specifically in the banking sector, people choosing not to retire when they thought they were going to retire. So I think there's some questions that are sort of right happening to us right now, very contemporary questions about... What does this mean from an economic environment in terms of our commitment to diversity, and perhaps are there ways that we should be thinking about reshaping some of our programs, our policies, our commitments in the light of what is going on around the world today? Now I've started on a really doom and gloom start, but I'll perhaps talk a little bit more broadly about NAB and our commitment to diversity, because I think that's probably an important context before I talk more specifically about some of our programs, our processes to help manage a multi-generational workforce. I will say that NAB, we have at least three generations in our workforce, and we track the percentage of people in different age groups, and I think that that is just part of our regular annual diversity survey that we do both globally and in Australia. And you'd probably know that NAB in Australia has 24,000 employees. So my comments are specifically today, and some of the demographics I'll share with you relate to the Australian region, the NAB Australian region, where that we have 24,000 employees spread across Australia. And I mentioned that we have three, possibly four generations at work today. We have a fairly small percentage of people in the 16 to 19%, only about 1% of our workforce is in that younger age group. 20 to 29, we're actually seeing that increasing. 25% of our workforce is in that 20s age group. In that 30 to 39, we've got about 35%, and that's our main age grouping. And that's whereas the people we have in our 20s mirror pretty much what's in the Australian population. We know about 23% of the Australian working population are in their 20s. We know that at NAB, we've got about 35%. Of our people in that 30s age bracket, and in the Australian populations, that's 24%. So our concentration is obviously people in their 30s as well as people in their 40s, about 24%. The interesting thing about our data that we're doing the historical comparisons, and we are seeing that the Generation X and Y percentages are actually still increasing, but we are seeing that the probably more the X and the boomer, in line with all the trends and everything we hear about the skills shortage, we're seeing that the percentages of people in that Generation X and boomer category are in fact static or declining. And that's our skills challenge. That is, how do we retain that baby boomer generation? That's a very specific one. So I will speak just briefly about our broader commitment to diversity, because I think that, and it probably relates to very much what Neil was saying in terms of generational blending and how we have conversations, how we learn to lead diverse teams. For us, age is just one of many dimensions, as I'm sure many of you who are diversity practitioners in the room or HR managers in the room would know. We place age as one of a range of dimensions to better manage diversity in our organisations. So obviously we look at gender, we look at age, we look at ability, we look at differences even in terms of religion, we look at differences in terms of education, we more broadly look at diversity of thought, diversity of background, diversity of education, diversity of experience. So when we talk about diversity at NAB, we talk very much about creating a more inclusive culture, creating a culture of collaboration and inclusion. That defines our diversity commitments, creating a culture of collaboration and inclusion. And then we're sort of the subheading under that is, you know, obviously we're committed to diversity of thought, experience, background, and this includes a range of dimensions of diversity, of which age is obviously very key and very key to us today. As part of that commitment to diversity, I think, and I guess this comes from my experience 15 years as a diversity practitioner, the biggest focus that we can, or the biggest impact that we can make in our roles, is to help create a diversity mindset in an organisation. How do we equip our people leaders with the skills to be able to lead diverse teams now and into the future? And that's a skill and a skill set and a mindset that is going to be relevant well beyond the current turmoil we see today. So that is absolutely our focus. Like any diversity strategy, I always say there's five elements to a key to a successful diversity strategy. One is your executive commitment or your governance structure. Your second is your capability, particularly your capability of your people leaders to manage diversity. The third to me is always focused on your diversity communications. How do you promote diversity across the organisation and as well externally? The fourth to me is about the metrics you have to measure and track, and that's where I ask my team what are our current metrics we have on age for today's presentation, so that we can just quickly pull out data and regularly track data so that we can also highlight to our executive team if we're seeing a decline in gender at certain levels of the organisation or the trends we're seeing here around declining mature age. The fifth element of a key diversity strategy is around the programs and policies that we have in place to support those groups who don't fit the majority. And that is typically people with a disability, mature aged workers, women at certain levels of an organisation, and that varies depending on your industry. So being able to provide programs for those groups that we want to retain, but we know we don't retain them as well as we'd like to. So I think in any discussion around generations and diversity, I think there's two parts. One is what programs and policies do we have in place to kind of keep our mature aged people or to attract more people with disabilities? So there's some programs and policies that really target a particular segment of your workforce. But on the other hand, what's the kind of culture that we're fostering to give people the confidence and the capability to lead diverse teams? And so the question from the Generation Wire over here before really interested me, because that's a question we will often have in our day-to-day at NAB, is about, you know, I've got someone younger than me and I've got a group of people who are older than me, and I'm not sure I feel well equipped to know how to manage and to lead that team well. So what's NAB doing to try to give more of our people that confidence and that capability? And that's probably the what I'd just like to share with you for my 5 or so minutes. You know, I mentioned we have we know that our data is showing we're either static or declining in our Generation X's and Y's. That's something that is of concern to us. And we've recently done a diversity survey internally of about 3,500 employees. And that survey showed us very clearly that 60% of those people over 45 who knew how they were going to retire said they wanted to scale down their work commitments and to increase their voluntary and unpaid work. So we have a lot of data now suggesting that the majority of our people who are more in that baby boomer group know how they want to retire and they want to scale down and work more flexible hours. So that's a really key data point for us. In order to, and the other part of that is we know that we've got a very high percentage of our senior managers who are over 45 and who have more than, I think this question was more than 21 years of experience in the banking sector. So we've got some real crunch points in terms of how do we keep that baby boomer generation. So I guess we can't say, well, we're going to focus so much on the baby boomers that we lose sight of Gen X and Y. But what we know, again, from our diversity survey, and that the paramount theme of our diversity survey was flexibility. For Generation X, for Generation Y, for baby boomer, for women, for men, for people with a disability, the most common thing that came up was we have quite a lot of flexibility already. About 57% of those people surveyed said they had some form of informal work arrangement. But then again, a lot of people said we want more. And so I think, to pick up what Nir was saying, a lot of managing a multi-generational workforce is about having a conversation. And it moves us away from this whole old model, I guess, of one size fits all, to helping our people leaders to have a conversation, to proactively have a conversation with their team members about are they happy with their work environment? Happy might be too frivolous a word, but are they comfortable with their level of flexibility that they have, with the work environment? Are there more things that we can be doing to help you feel really engaged? Now, again, at NAB, our data would suggest that our Ys are less engaged than our Xs and baby boomers. We do the employee opinion survey and measure engagement. So we've got a job to do there to build engagement at that level. And so that's a real focus for us. We don't have the answers. I suspect there's a fair bit more around flexibility and technology, but that's a focus for us moving forward to learn more. So having a conversation is obviously really important, and it's just, I guess, the basics of leading a diverse team. But I think I always talk about when dealing with diversity, the most important thing is to have the conversation. And I've learned that from my own experience. I used to think perhaps it was appropriate not to say anything. I remember at Hewlett-Packard, I wanted to somehow work through a way where I could ask one of our engineers who was in a wheelchair
had been at Hewlett-Packard for 20 years. I wanted to see whether he would be prepared to lead a networking group, a resource group around disability. And I was frightened because I thought, will he see me as patronising? Perhaps he just wants to be seen as being an engineer and not a person with a disability. I really didn't know how to have that conversation. I did, sort of threw it all up one day and I thought, right, I'm just going to say, would you be interested? That changed John's whole commitment and engagement. He wasn't not an engaged person, but his manager came to me months later and said, whatever John's doing with this other stuff, wow, he's loving work and he's so involved. And I was a bit scared when you asked him that he might take too much time to do all that other stuff. But actually, it's had a great impact on his work commitment now. So again, it was a reminder to me, right, have that conversation and be upfront. And sometimes that, and I guess it's like anything, you know, when you're dealing with gender or a whole range of dimensions, even with mental illness, if you're not sure, sometimes the right thing to do is to just to step in and be a bit nosy and just find out if the level of comfort and the level of engagement through having a very real and authentic conversation. So perhaps just a little bit more in terms of some programs and policies at NAM. You've heard from what I've shared with you that our real focus is on our mature aged workforce. We have this year made a significant commitment to upgrade the resources that we have for our mature aged workers through committing to a program that's run by a consultancy called SageCo. And SageCo are providing an online resource kit for us that will essentially be, I think, a great tool for people who are thinking about their retirement to go through a whole range of questions, not just the standard financial planning questions, but a whole range of questions about how they want to retire, how do we retain their knowledge. I think it's a really essential tool, kit, a resource that will be able, we would hope, that will help us to address the retention issues that we're likely to have for our mature aged workers. We have a range of other initiatives to support that program of, I'd say, wisdom transfer as well as resources for the mature aged people. Some other things that we're doing, a bank, we're invariably going to be good at insurance advice and superannuation advice because MLC is part of the National Australia Bank. So we've worked out some deals that I guess we can do in our industry or policies that we can do in our industry around superannuation in order to top up pay for people who are going part-time when you're over 55. Again, incentives that are realistic and quite appropriate in our industry to be able to retain older workers. We're also looking at home loan products for children of our mature aged employees. Again, it's something that we know that generation wants to often help children. We heard about the you know, staying at home with the older kids, but we think that that's also something that is attractive, again, as part of a suite of initiatives to retain mature aged workers. So I think for us, while I put a focus on mature age, that's not to diminish the efforts that we're making to provide a really strong environment, an inclusive environment for Gen Xers and Ys. But I guess our focus is a broader one, and I guess it is that generational blending. Whenever we run diversity exercises we'll line people up on age or years of experience and get people to talk about that. So we'll ask the people in the over 55s, what are stereotypes and assumptions that you hear at NAB about people in this age group? What are the assumptions that you hear in your early 20s? And people call out the standard things like, you know, you're here just for 2 minutes and you all want to be CEOs and all those sorts of things, or you're all over it, you're all past it, you don't know how to use your phones and And so we hear all of those things, but the beauty is, I think, being able to, again, raise some of those stereotypes, because, again, it's about the more and more we get these things open, we have the conversations, the more we can fairly quickly address some of those negative stereotypes and create, we would hope, a better environment where our people leaders feel that their teams are very diverse. And not that you don't notice age or you don't notice gender, because I think that would be, I don't think that's appropriate. But I think it's about that you feel like you have the confidence and you have the skill to be able to lead diverse teams and move well beyond that older school, one size fits all model. So, Peter, I might finish up on that note. I guess what I wanted to share with you was just NAB's broader commitment, and I would say the same at Coles too, I guess, in the sense that we positioned a lot of these initiatives within that broader diversity strategy and framework. I do think, however, you still need to have a very targeted intervention around age, as you do around gender and disability and Indigenous communities. And I think the more and more we can have the conversations, and, you know, we mentioned words earlier about respect and having a culture with some really strong values, that inherently supports a culture that is very diverse and that you feel you've got a really good chance of having employees who are feeling strongly engaged and strongly included. So thank you.